to call the meeting of the coordinated AB 3030 Groundwater Management Plan Technical Advisory Committee to order. Let's do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag.
If we could commence with introductions, please.
I'm Steve Lindeman, represent Corning.
Lee Rose Lane, I represent Private Pumpers.
Carolyn Steffens, City of Tehama.
Dean Sherrill, small districts.
Ian Turnbull, Private Pumpers.
And good afternoon, Tim McSorley. I'm your executive director. I know a few of you, but not everybody.
Ryan Tybert, manager.
Okay, thank you. At this time, we will open for public comment. This time is set aside for citizens to address this committee on any item of interest to the public as within the subject matter jurisdiction of the Tehama County Flood Control and Water Conservation District AB 3030 Technical Advisory Committee, provided the matter is not on the agenda or pending before the committee. The chair reserves the right to limit each speaker to 3 minutes. Disclosures of the speaker's identity is purely voluntary during the public comment period. Seeing no members of the public, we'll move on to item 3, approval of the minutes. I'd like to see if anybody needs the minutes read. They've been distributed in the packet. And if not, I need a motion to waive the reading and approve the minutes from the May 20th, 2019 AB 3030 Technical Advisory Committee meeting.
I motion that we waive the reading of the minutes.
Emo seconds.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Moving on to item 4 on the agenda, sub-basin boundary modification and prioritization process. Ryan, I believe.
Yeah. I can take it. When we met last May, we had just recently submitted 3 boundary modifications shown up here, one to combine the Bowman and Rosewood, one to absorb a small piece of the Millville subbasin within the county into the South Battle Creek subbasin, and then one to combine the Vina portion, subbasin within Tehama County into the Los Molinos and Dye Creek subbasins. This was finalized by DWR in February of 2019. After DWR finalized the base boundary modification process, they went through and reprioritized all of the subbasins across the state. They did this with new data, and this is kind of their process. These are the 8 categories that they look at, and then after they went and reprioritized all the subbasins, this is how we ended up, at least with our subbasins and within Tehama County. So they did allow us to combine the Rosewood and Bowman subbasins. So now we have the single Bowman subbasin, which is classified as very low. They also accepted our South Battle Creek subbasin, so we absorbed that small piece. And then they allowed us to combine Dye Creek, Los Molinos, and the portion of Vina within the county. So we have this new larger Los Molinos subbasin. After they reprioritized, some of them weren't very surprising, but the Antelope subbasin was changed from a medium priority to a high priority subbasin. DWR just state that there's no difference between a high and medium priority subbasin right now. We'll see how that continues into the future. The Corning subbasin was also changed from a medium priority subbasin to a high priority subbasin. And then the Los Molinos subbasin had to be totally reclassified, and it came out scoring as a medium priority subbasin. There was some concern among some of the groundwater commissioners over the scoring process and how this was done. So in your packet, there's a letter that we drafted and sent to the Department of Water Resources expressing our concerns. But DWR took that into account, and they pretty much stuck with their original decision to classify these sub-basins as they are. So I mean, I can go into any detail on any of the individual basins if any of you want, but I just was kind of giving a general overview of this process.
You know what triggered the change in Corning?
I think it received some additional points for DWR didn't initially give as many points out or include points in all the sub-basins for groundwater substitution as far as and that actually did occur in the Corning sub-basin on Glen Clouse Irrigation District. So those are I believe added an additional 2 points. And then in redoing their system, kind of looking at new data, it seemed like they kind of added 2 points to every sub-basin throughout the state. One of those was if you had a wetland, a seep, any other water feature, you got a point. And then if you had a stream within your sub-basin, you also received an additional point. So that kind of added some additional points to what was previously there.
Is that it on four, Brian?
Yes, unless anyone else has any other specific questions.
Okay, moving on to item 5 on the agenda, the Groundwater Sustainability Agency update. Assuming you're going to...
Yeah, I'll pretty much do all these. So I wanted to give an update as far as... GSP, Groundwater Sustainability Planning Round 3 application. So again, at the last meeting in May of last year, I announced that we'd gotten a $1.5 million grant from the Department of Water Resources through Proposition 1 to help with groundwater sustainability plan development for the Bowman, Red Bluff, Antelope, and Los Molinos sub-basins. Additionally, the Corning sub-basin got a separate grant for $1 million as well. In November of 2019, DWR released another round of funding opportunities, and in that was actually through Prop 68. And with that, the district submitted an additional application for another $1.5 million, although this application was only specific to the Antelope, Red Bluff, and Los Molinos sub-basins. The Bowman sub-basin wasn't eligible because it was a very low-priority sub-basin. But because the round two funding went through before the basin reprioritization process, we're actually eligible to use some of those round two funds for the Bowman sub-basin. So we're still planning on developing a GSP for that sub-basin, but the round three funding will just kind of get added to the contract and allow us to apply additional funds to the Red Bluff, Los Molinos, and Antelope sub-basins. This round three funding that we did apply for, we were conditionally awarded that funding. So we're in the process of working with DWR to do a contract amendment to add that to the round two funding. And again, the round three funding was basically added onto the round two task just to allow more funding to be eligible for those GSP development. Because the round two funding, again, this was the initial round of funding, it capped us out at $1.5 million. Which was limited compared to what some of the other groundwater sustainability agencies are eligible to apply for. So this will put us up closer to them with around $700,000 to $800,000 per sub-basin, with the exception of the Bowman sub-basin, which will probably be around $350,000 to develop that GSP. Besides adding to the additional tasks from round two, we put some additional funding in there to explore groundwater-dependent ecosystems. That topic has kind of gained some traction since the round two application, so we put some additional funding in there to explore that, and then also some additional funding to explore funding opportunities for funding the Groundwater Sustainability Agency long term, as well as some additional funding for increased outreach and possibly increasing some of our web-based systems to allow constituents to access some of the data that we're going to collect through this process easier. And then we're also we're working with Lundorf and Scalamini Consulting Engineers to develop the groundwater sustainability plans for those sub-basins within Tama County, but I'll get into that a little bit further in an additional topic. And then next, item B on this, I just wanted to give an update on some of the outreach I've done over the last year since our last meeting. I've given presentations to the Tama County Farm Bureau, the Shasta-Tama Watershed Education Coalition, otherwise known as STWEC. Last April, we did a Sacramento Valley Sigma Forum. That was a couple of the counties worked together to put on a forum, which was actually held in Corning. I gave a presentation there, as well as I gave a presentation to the Capay Landowners Association. Then I expect our outreach to increase as we move forward in developing these groundwater sustainability plans. And once I have a consultant fully under contract, they will be able to assist me with that process. And the last item, item C, is just an update on what's going on in some of the surrounding groundwater sustainability agencies. So with that, I'll start in Shasta County. Here you can see in purple, these are the two sub-basins that are managed by the Anderson Enterprise Groundwater Sustainability Agency. The agency is made up of six representatives, and then I think they have different voting rights depending on which sub-basin that they're taking action on at that current time. We have had some initial conversations with them about coordinating on modeling and some of the outreach efforts, and once we get our consultant on board, we'll explore that further, but we will be working with them just because we do share this common sub-basin boundary here between the Anderson sub-basin and the Bowman sub-basin. Next, I'll move on to Butte County. So again, here we're going to share this. This is the county boundary, so we'll share the Los Molinos and the Vina sub-basin. We'll have a shared boundary, so we'll be coordinating with those entities within the Vina sub-basin. Currently, there are two groundwater sustainability agencies within Vina. There's the Vina sub-basin groundwater sustainability agency, which consists of Butte County, Chico, and the Durham Irrigation District. I think since the last time I met with you, the old sub-basin, Vina sub-basin boundary extended and incorporated half of Chico. They've since moved this down to the south. So it's a larger sub-basin, although we did remove this portion up here within Tehama County. The second groundwater sustainability agency within the Vina sub-basin is the Rock Creek Reclamation District. Those two groundwater sustainability agencies are working together right now and hoping to coordinate on developing one groundwater sustainability plan for that sub-basin. Next, we'll move down here to the Butte sub-basin. This sub-basin has 11 individual groundwater sustainability agencies, and they are coordinating through a MOU agreement, and their plan is to develop one groundwater sustainability plan for the sub-basin. This area is mostly all surface water, as it's mostly all rice growers out in this area. Then lastly, there's a Wyandotte Creek sub-basin down here. This sub-basin has the Wyandotte Creek GSA, and they have three agencies that are working together within that groundwater sustainability agency to develop a single GSP for the sub-basin.
Brian?
Yes.
Rose Lane speaking. Why did we end up with the fingers on the Butte County area that, as it's depicted there? The one to the south looks rather peculiar, as well as the one on the north end of the block.
Yeah, these generally follow the lines of the participating agencies.
I see.
So here, I draw it on mine. I think it's from this Western Canal Water District down through Butte County. I think these are all the agencies that are involved, with the exception of Clusa County, which has a very minor small piece over here somewhere. But basically, that's following those agencies' boundary, which is kind of why you have that obscure boundary on these ends. It doesn't follow a stream, which is the normal boundary line for most of these sub-basins.
Thank you.
And then looking down here at the Colusa sub-basin, which is over here, you can see you have the Glenn County Groundwater District here within Glenn County that is made up of 9 agencies that's formed by a joint powers authority. And they are coordinating with the Colusa Groundwater District, which is made up of 10 agencies also formed by a JPA agreement amongst those agencies. And they're coordinating together to do one GSP for the entire Colusa sub-basin. And this is Yolo County line down here. Both of these individual agencies have gone through the Prop 218 process to help secure funds to implement their groundwater sustainability agencies. Glenn County had a 4% protest, so the measure passed. And in Glenn County, they have the ability to charge up to $1.93 per acre. But I think currently they're charging out $1.67 per acre that is included on those folks' tax bills and collected through the county and given to the Glenn Groundwater District. Similarly, Colusa County, when they did their assessment, they came up with $1.21 an acre, and that's what they're using. And Colusa County had a 2% protest.
Has the Monroeville Groundwater District entered into that JPA?
No, they have not yet at this point.
Do they plan to? I mean,
From what I understand, and I'll cover that a little bit more in a upcoming topic. But yeah, the Corning Subbasin Groundwater Sustainability Agency met, and I don't believe they had a quorum, so they weren't able to take action on voting whether the Monroeville Water District would join their groundwater sustainability agency.
For the Corning sub-basin, but that water district also extends into the Colusa, I believe.
Yes, I believe it does. I'm not familiar with if they've been able to join the Glenn Groundwater District or the Corning or the Colusa Groundwater District.
Thank you.
And then they have applied for round 2 funds for $1 million for the sub-basin. As well, they have submitted a round 3 application for an additional $1 million to help fund the groundwater sustainability plan for this sub-basin. And they have gone through the process and selected a consultant team to help them develop the groundwater sustainability plan. That team is led by David's Engineering, and it's got multiple sub-consultants under their contract. That is it for that topic.
Any questions for Ryan on number 5? Okay, moving on to item 6, groundwater sustainability plan development firm recommendation.
Yeah, so this is, I just wanted to kind of describe a little bit of the process that we went through in selecting a firm. We released a request for qualifications to help develop the groundwater sustainability plans for the Antelope, Los Molinos, Red Bluff, Forgotten Arrow here on the and the Bowman sub-basin. The RFQ was advertised from September 16, 2019 through November 1st. The district received 4 applications for that. They were from Flow West, GHD, Lundorf and Scalamini Consulting Engineers, and Montgomery and Associates. The ad hoc committee, which was made up of 5 groundwater commissioners, reviewed the proposals and selected GHD, Lundorf and Scalamini, and Montgomery and Associates to move forward to an interview process. Each firm was sent a list of 18 questions that we had developed with that ad hoc committee of some topics we wanted additional information on. They were requested to provide answers to those questions in writing. And then we held interviews on December 10th. Each of the firms was asked to give a 10 to 15 minute presentation, And then they were asked, each of them was asked to answer the same 6 questions of those 18, but we felt that those ones ranked among the 5 ad hoc committee members as their top priorities, that they wanted to have them ask those questions in person. And then we allowed for a 20-minute plus question and answer period just to kind of go through that process. After we conducted the interviews, Lundorf and Scalmini Consulting Engineers was unanimously selected amongst the groundwater ad hoc committee members to make a recommendation to the board to move forward with hiring them to help us develop the groundwater sustainability plans. Additionally, staff participated in the process, but we weren't voting members in that decision, but I agreed with their decision. They were Lundorf and Scalmina is a very qualified firm, and I'm looking forward to working with them. From that ad hoc committee, we took a recommendation to the Groundwater Commission on December 18th. And the commission voted to make a recommendation to the Board of Directors. That was taken to the board on January 7th, and the board approved moving forward with Lundorf and Scalmini as the consulting firm to help us through developing GSPs for those 4 sub-basins. We initially, after the board made that approved of us moving forward with them, we developed a small professional services agreement just so we could get the process started of developing these plans and get it right underway while we're working with their staff to develop a full contract with full scope of work for the larger contract. And we're actually, now that we've been conditionally approved, we are going to move forward with developing one large contract and include a majority of those round 3 funds as well into that contract with them. And so far we've had an initial kickoff meeting with staff from the Lundorf and Scalmini. And right now, again, we're just mostly working on trying to develop that scope of work and then do some of the initial outreach, kind of figure out how we need to coordinate, because we selected a different consulting firm than is in the Corning sub-basin. We have to coordinate some of those tasks between those 2 consulting firms. So I'm hoping to get similar products so that we don't have 4 GSPs that look completely different than the 5th GSP that we have to work on. There will be some differences, but I'm trying to encourage my 2 consultants to work together and create similar documents and use a similar model and have similar outreach plans. And luckily, although we have 2 separate main consulting firms, David's Engineering is working on both as a sub-consultant for both of those 2 consultants, as well as they're working in the Colusa sub-basin. So that'll hopefully help us tie the Red Bluff into the Corning and into the Colusa sub-basin, as well as CBI is also doing some of the outreach under both of those contracts as well. So there is some ability within them to help us work together.
Ryan, are we going to be able to review what the scope of work for them is going to look like?
Yes, that will ultimately go to the Groundwater Commission and to the Board of Directors for approval.
It would be nice, as the Technical Advisory Committee, to be able to review the scope of work on those, Ryan.
Yes, it's something we'll be developing over the next couple months. I'm still contemplating whether I want to form an ad hoc committee. And if we do form an ad hoc committee, there may be opportunity for some members of the Technical Advisory Committee to participate in those discussions.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Ryan on item 6? Moving on to item 7, Corning sub-basin update.
So, so I just want to kind of explain a little bit of this before I dive in this topic, just because the Glenn County folks decided to call their agency the Corning Sub-Basin Groundwater Sustainability Agency. It does lead to some confusion, but within the Corning Sub-Basin, we have our 2 groundwater sustainability agencies. There's the Tama County Flood Control Water Conservation District and the Corning Sub-Basin Groundwater Sustainability Agency, which consists of the Glen Colusa Irrigation District and Glen County at this time. We are looking at forming a Corning Subbasin Advisory Group, which we'll get into a little bit more in a little bit, but that'll have representatives from both GSAs on it. But because that's the Corning Subbasin Advisory Group and the Corning Subbasin Groundwater Sustainability Agency, there's some confusion, so I just wanted to try to hopefully help explain a little bit of that on the front end here. Starting out, for the Corning Subbasin, I've been coordinating with staff from Glenn County and GCID. We did release a request for qualifications for development, or I'm sorry, a request for proposal, an RFP for development of those groundwater sustainability plans. That was done in August of 2014, and it was released on August of 2014 and ended on September 17th. I received two proposals, one from Montgomery Associates and the other one from Rubicon Engineering. Two members from each of the Groundwater Sustainability Agency staff reviewed these proposals. We met and we discussed it. The Montgomery and Associates was clearly the firm that we all ranked higher than the Rubicon Engineering proposal. So we moved forward with making those recommendations to our board in Glenn County. Since they're administering the grant contract, and they've developed a contract with Montgomery Associates for the GSP development process. I believe that's signed, or it should be signed within a week or two. But they're the firm that we've selected to help us move forward. And with that firm, we've had a project kickoff meeting that happened on January 30th. This was just at a staff level. And then, again, we're just in the real initial phases, and we'll be having an outreach and coordination meeting the next week. So we're kind of getting this process started, at least on the staffing level, of kind of trying to get our scheduling and some of these initial topics out of the way so we can start moving forward with developing the groundwater sustainability plans. And then next, we did have some coordination meetings between the Corning Subbasin GSA and the Tama County GSA. We had six of those meetings between May and November of last year. And those were, we had two representatives from each of the agencies involved in this. So there are two board members from GCID, two board members from Glenn County, and a board member from the Flood Control District and a groundwater commissioner. And these meetings, we're really just trying to kind of focus on developing a MOU agreement, as well as developing the initial stakeholder and engagement plan, and hosting a public outreach event that occurred on November 6th. The stakeholder and engagement plan included interviewing 10 stakeholders in the subbasin and engaging their interest in GSP development process. There's a copy of that document attached here. Again, this is kind of just the initial outreach document. We're going to be developing this further as we move forward with developing the groundwater sustainability plans. We also helped develop this MOU document. This document kind of helped come up with this structure where, again, we're going to have this Corning Subbasin Advisory Board. This board is going to make recommendations to each of the groundwater sustainability agencies who ultimately have jurisdiction over their portion of the subbasin that's within their districts. So again, they'll go to the Tama County Flood Control and Water Conservation District, and they'll make recommendations back to the Corning Subbasin Advisory Board. And then Glenn County, under there, they have a MOU between GCID and Glenn County, and they have two board members, I believe, from each that meet, and they make decisions on how to advise this advisory board. Or for us, we've got to take these matters back, likely through the Groundwater Commission, and then ultimately to the District Board of Directors. The MOU key provisions, I believe there is a copy of the MOU attached here, but just the key provisions where we're interested in development, implementation of an enforcement of a single groundwater sustainability plan for the subbasin. Each of the GSA member retains its powers and sole discretion granted by SGMA. The agreement to cooperate within the Corning Subbasin and with adjoining subbasins establishes the Corning Subbasin Advisory Board that convenes at least once a year to make recommendations to the respective GSA boards as requested. Although right now, I think we're going to be looking at meeting every other month. But ultimately, we need to fill this board and move forward and allow them to kind of dictate what they want their schedule to be. Each of the board will be made up of three seats with one alternate for each GSA member. So again, that's the Tama County GSA and the Glenn County GSA. So it will be made up of six members. One of those seats from each GSA member will be held by an elected official. Those positions will have four-year terms and will allow for reappointment. This matter did go to the Board of Directors. Director Bob Williams will be our elected representative on this. And then David Lester, who's a groundwater commissioner and been involved in this process, will be one of the positions, as well as Steve Grunewald will be the third person, and then Ian Turnbull will be the alternate person as far as representing the Tama County GSA. And then the advisory board will strive to make unanimous recommendations to each GSA member with dispute resolution and even withdrawal addressed in that MOU. The Corning Subbasin Groundwater Sustainability Agency, their board met, but unfortunately they did not have a quorum, so they were not able to nominate their members to move forward with this. And then additionally, here in purple, you can see this is the Corning Subbasin Groundwater Sustainability Agency. They have the Monroeville Water District. It's labeled Glen Groundwater District here. But they went through the LAFCO process. They're forming a new district. And we have developed MOU in a way that will allow new members to join, because we were aware as we were developing it that this group would likely be formed. They do have a board, and I think they are pursuing joining the Corning Subbasin Groundwater Sustainability Agency. So likely on the Glenn County side, they will have one representative from each board. So you'll have a Glenn County Board of Supervisor, you'll have a Glenn Clusa Irrigation District Board member, as well as a Monroeville Water District Board member representing their portion of the Corning Subbasin Advisory Board. This Monroeville Water District does extend, here you can see in orange the Corning Subbasin, but it does extend, this is what Ian was asking. It doesn't look like it does extend in the Clusa County, but I'm not sure as far as the Glenn Groundwater Authority if they've taken those steps yet. But the majority of their district does extend down into the Glenn County portion of the Clusa Subbasin. Basically, I think what you're seeing here is these are a lot of the lands outside of the Glenn Clusa Irrigation District that these folks wanted to be better represented, so they went through the LAFCO process and formed their own groundwater district. Lastly on here, I just want to let you know that because we do have the Pascenta Rancheria here in the subbasin, I have reached out to them and informed them about the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. They are not required to participate in the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act because this is a state legislative act, and they are a sovereign nation. So I did meet with the tribal council in June and kind of gave them a real brief overview, and then I've been working with their public works director to kind of tailor a more detailed presentation and go back and meet with the council again and give them a more detailed presentation on this. But again, they're not required to participate. A lot of the tribal folks have chosen not to participate in SGMA, at least as far as like being an active member. And just keeping that sovereignty separate, so you do have those groundwater sustainability agencies acting or interacting with these sovereign nations in a more formalized method than actually having them participate as a member on these groundwater sustainability agencies.
Any questions for Ryan on item 7? Moving on then to item 8, technical support services applications.
Yeah, so DWR does offer several technical support services. One of those is the installation of multi-completion wells. But those are only for the medium and high priority sub-basins, so the Bowman sub-basin will not be eligible. But we are working with Lundorf and Scalamini, and they have offered to assist us with putting in an application, and we'll be likely requesting one well for each for the Red Bluff, Los Molinos, and Antelope sub-basin. And in that process, we'll work with our consulting engineers and work with DWR to identify probably the most appropriate location for that well, and then move forward with trying to select a location within that area that we can get an agreement with a landowner.
And that includes actually funding the well or just technical oversight?
It includes the full installation of the okay. well. So we would likely take over after it's installed with the monitoring moving forward. But yes, no, the application or the process does fund the full installation.
Thank you.
And in that, for the Corning sub-basin, Glenn County staff has submitted an initial application. They actually did this quite some time ago. We've worked with DWR to kind of identify some potential locations. The location that we are looking at right now is kind of out here west of I-5 in the northern portion of the sub-basin. We've kind of identified quite a few areas and worked with DWR to see kind of where our current monitoring network is compared to groundwater usage, and this is the area that came up kind of is probably our best use of this funding to submit a well. It's been on my plate for a while now. I need to reach out to a landowner out in this area and see if they'd be agreeable to allow us to put a well on that. If I can find a willing landowner, then we'll move forward with the second round of the application process and then move forward with getting that processed. And then additionally, another service that they do offer is facilitation support. This could be used to assist with outreach, including meetings and materials, website support, and sub-basin coordination. So we're looking at working with Lundorf and Scalamini to submit an application for that as well to help us with our outreach efforts. And that will likely be within the entire county, so including a portion of the Corning sub-basin. Butte County recently submitted an application for this as well, and they're going to be using CBI, which is an outreach firm, the Consensus Building Institute, that is under contract in both the Corning sub-basin and in our other four sub-basins. And Butte County has specifically hired them to do sub-basin coordination. So they'll be working with us on the Los Molinos sub-basin, the Vina sub-basin, and then likewise for Butte County, the Clusa sub-basin, and further to the south as well. I can't remember what the sub-basin is down there, the Sutter sub-basin, to help coordinate amongst our agencies.
Any questions for Ryan on item 8? Okay, moving on to item 9, groundwater level update.
So just going to go have a couple slides I usually show in the beginning, just kind of show where we are in the status of kind of moving through the winter here. This is the U.S. Drought Monitor specifically for California. We've had a pretty dry winter so far with the exception of December. So, but this is where we were last year, and then we had a banner February and March, which put us completely out of the drought category, but we've slowly slipped back in as we go further into the winter and get less water. Here's the Northern Sierra Precipitation 8 Station Index. So this just kind of shows you the blue here is average, the amount of precipitation average across these 8 stations here. You can see where we are for this year. We're pretty low, kind of on track for 2017-18 or 2013-14. But we could, again, have a, you know, maybe after a second half of March. For now, the next couple of weeks still look pretty dry, but maybe the weather pattern will shift and we'll actually get some precipitation in the latter half of March and April and May that we can at least hope for. But you can see we're running pretty low here for this time of the year. This is just another way of looking at it, where again you can see we had just barely above average December, but pretty well below average for October, November, January, and haven't received any measurable precipitation yet here for February, and the month is slowly closing in on us. So, but luckily, because of last year, our reservoirs were all full, so you can see we are above historic average in most of our reservoirs across the state. Most specifically for us, Shasta, you know, we're still at 108% of average. I think we'll have enough water to get us through this year, but we'll definitely need a good winter next year if we don't have some additional precipitation this year. Fortunately, the snowpack is looking pretty dismal so far for this year. When you look at it, the number on the left is the percent of the April 1st average. The number on the right is normal for this date. So we're right around 50%, kind of, you know, gets less as you go further south in the state, but we're looking at about 54% of normal for the state for the Northern Sierras and the Trinities. Next, I'll run through some of the groundwater monitoring wells. I usually go start in the north and work our way down to the south. And these are through September. Unfortunately, we're going to be going out later this week to get the data. I wasn't able to get out before this meeting, but they will be updated on the website. So in about another week or so, you should be able to look at the website and see the updated data through this time period. But as far as September, where we drew the groundwater levels down to, and you're slightly above where we were in the Bowman area from the previous year. And definitely still up 5 feet or so on where we were on some of these spots, 2 to 5 feet from where we were at the low point in the drought. Here we are at Gerber, kind of similar with the exception of the deepest well. It's just slightly increased from the previous summer or fall. Although we did have a decline down here in the deeper depth of perforated at 940 to 960, we saw about a 7 foot decline there, and quite a steep decline from where we were in 2016. Talking 30 foot difference in this location, but kind of similar to where we were in 2013, about 10 foot difference to some of these other low points. This is out just west of Corning. So again, slight increases over the previous summers, although not far off from where we were at the lowest point during the drought in 2016. Here we are just slightly east of Corning. Here we have a slight increase, about 5 feet in both of these well depths compared to the previous summer, and slightly above where we were during the low points in the drought of 2015 and 16.
You know what happened there on the three?
No, I'm not sure. I'll need that. It's just a 1 month average. I don't know. Maybe there was an anomaly when they went out there and checked the measurement. It's something I need to go back and look at. Next, we're continuing south, so we'll just go to these other three wells that are a little closer down to the county boundary. Capay Road at Hall Road. On the more intermediate wells, we saw a slight increase. We saw a slight decrease in the deeper wells. And then kind of, and these deeper wells, we're seeing a continual decline here from that banner year after the drought in 17. Here we are at Ingram Road at the Tamaclusa Canal. Somewhat similarly, in the intermediate wells, we saw a slight increase, a little bit more of an increase in the 500-foot well, but then a decrease in the deeper well, close to 8 feet or so. And I don't have a lot of answers for the reasons why some of these are moving one way or the other, but as we move forward over the next 2 years, I'll be getting assistance from these consulting, our consultants to help us explain kind of and look further at some of these patterns of why we're having seen these in some of these areas.
This is Lee Rose Lane again. I have a comment on the deeper wells probably having more of a decrease, and that's due to the number of large orchards that are going in and probably the installation of deeper wells that are taking more water from that particular strata.
Yeah, I agree. And as we go through this process, we'll actually have a little bit better data where we can look at and show the land use pattern changes, as well as looking at some of the new well logs that have gone in, so that we can actually back that up with data and say, yes, we have seen this amount of non-irrigated pasture be changed to tree crops, as well as we're seeing these wells that were at one point tapping into the 400-foot aquifer, tapping into these deeper aquifers. And we'll have we'll be able to better provide that data and show that data as we move forward in developing this GSP process. And here's the last well down Moeller Avenue and Fifth Avenue. Pretty similar to the previous year in the intermediate wells, and then a slight increase in the deeper wells here. Or do I have that backwards? No, I'm sorry. Pretty similar, slight increase in the deeper wells with a little bit larger increase in the more shallower wells. And next year, I'm just going to show some of these groundwater change maps that DWR puts together. Can't look at any individual point in this because it's kind of an estimation, but it just kind of gives you a broad overview of where things are going amongst the wells that are monitored within the county. So we'll start with the 100 to 450-foot wells, and we'll look at the difference between summer 2019 and summer 2018. And then summer 2019, the summer 2015, and then summer 2019, the summer 2004. So here you can see the difference between summer 2018 and summer 2019. Generally, you're seeing increases throughout the Sacramento Valley, and that extends into Tehama County with exception of a little bit further out west, we did see some declines in the 2 foot to 1 foot range as we go out further west. But we definitely saw some better increases around here in the Corning area. Next, we're gonna compare summer 2019 to 2015. This is important because this time frame, because this is where the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act sets its base at. So you have to look starting at 2015, and that's where you set your base at and you move forward from there. We don't have to do that, but that's what the legislation says. So these maps are good to look at where we are now compared to summer 2015. So again, a lot of blue. 2015 isn't the best benchmark to use because we were in the middle of a drought. Groundwater levels are pretty low. But again, that's what the legislation says. So again, looking here, we're doing pretty good with exception where you see some declining groundwater levels out here, a little west of I-5, kind of right near the Tama-Glenn County line. As well, we see some moderate decline out here, kind of north of Deer Creek, and a little bit out here to the west, the basin. And then this is comparing back to summer 2004. So again, you can see a lot of red out here on the west side. And then when we zoom in here, kind of closer to Tehama County, we have some areas out here, and I think that's 29.3-foot decline, or difference between the groundwater levels in 2004 compared to 2019. So definitely this Corning subbasin and up into the Red Bluff subbasin are going to have to be our areas of focus, especially when we're looking at the declining groundwater level criteria for SGMA. As well, we've seen some declining groundwater levels out here, and this is Deer Creek and the wells out here along Deer Creek. Next, I'm going to go over the same time periods again, but these are for the deep wells. They're classified as greater than 600 foot. So here, a difference between 2018 and 19, we have seen some of these levels start to come back up throughout the valley, and some within the county, but we've also seen some declining groundwater levels as well. Some of these are, again, it's hard to see, and you kind of have to dive into some of this, but some of these wells, like this is a multi-completion well, as is this. Now, some of our wells monitor some levels at the 500 to 600 foot range, but a lot of times it seems like they're picking the deeper wells or the ones that show the most drastic decline. So some of our deeper strata here may not be showing decline, but in the very deepest one, I think this is the one around 900 foot, we are seeing some decline of, I think that's a 6.8, and some decline out here as well. And I'm hoping as we move forward with developing these GSPs, we can also be expanding our monitoring network further west out here in the Corning subbasin. Again, that well we're looking at putting is out in this area out here, so we can hopefully be extending this out, because there is some agricultural growth out here in this area. Next, we'll be looking at the difference between 2019 and 15. Again, this is the SGMA time frame. Again, here, this is that well up in Gerber. If you look on that hydrograph, you know, some of the 500, 600 foot range isn't as bad as some of the decline we're seeing in the deeper aquifer in the 800 to 900 foot range. And I believe that's similar down here in this area out here, kind of near the Capay area. And this is going back to 2004. Again, we don't have a lot of well data out here going back that period, so it's important that we, again, expand our monitoring network. And that's part of the GSP process, is identifying where you're lacking in your monitoring network, and then as well as doing some outreach to try to expand our monitoring network. But, again, you can see this area out here west of I-5 and even extending east of I-5 is where we're seeing kind of our greatest decline in our deeper aquifers.
Okay, thank you, Ryan. Do we have any questions on item 9 or any other general questions? Okay, hearing none. Need a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next meeting's February 2021.
Wow. Lisa, the schedule, I'll probably be the 23rd.
I don't plan a year out, I'm sorry.